Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this crazy show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. We are hyped up. Let's jump right into it. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. That's rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Ray, it's crazy. Hit us up with the crazy news. We got World Cup Wimbledon and NBA draft review and free agency. Ray, what's happening in the NBA?
Oh, my God. Well, right off the presses, we got our boy Jason Kidd. First, we got to give a little shout-out to Larry Drew. Got essentially quick, fast, in a hurry removed. But when you have the worst team in the league, you can't really – the worst record in the league, you can't really complain. But Jason Kidd is going to Milwaukee in exchange for two number two picks in 2015 and 2019, and he's going to be the coach, and apparently he's going to have a lot of say in player personnel decisions as well. So JK is moving with Mark Lazary, who met him. I guess he was a minority owner in the Nets, and so they had a relationship there. And now
he was his financial advisor, too.
So good for them. I mean, interesting move for a guy that, you know, at this time last year even was just finishing his career in the NBA. So he was a coach for 1 year, and now he's a coach and / pseudo GM for a different franchise the next year.
Well, you know, it's fascinating, and on many levels he goes from coaching a playoff team, veterans, to coaching and rebuilding a young franchise, which might be more of a challenge and might be more interesting. And maybe he feels his voice will be better there. As we look at that and how it affects the draft and free agency, let's focus in on the Nets and the Bucks. Let me ask you, does Jason Kidd do you like what he has to work with getting a Jabari Parker, maybe having some free agency room to see if they can bring over an Eric Bledsoe? They also, you know, drafted a Johnny O'Brien. What do you think about the roster and what the Milwaukee Bucks did draft night?
You know, I like the pick. I like Jabari Parker because he's the most NBA ready. And when you're a team like Milwaukee, you're always 2 years away from – what's that famous phrase? You're 2 years away from being 2 years away. So I don't have a problem that they took the most NBA-ready guy. I mean, obviously Wiggins wasn't there, but they had the number two pick. So I don't have a problem with that, especially if you fear at all about Joel Embiid, you know, about his health. Having said that, there's a reason they were the worst team in the league. I mean, I don't like their roster. I think they're two or three drafts away from being any good. Their best two players now play the same position. You know, Brandon Knight's technically their best, you know, their leading scorer, leading assist guy. I don't love him. I think he's a tweener. And all of their big men have some kind of flaw, right? John
Sanders,
Sanders has got the off the court issues. So I think getting an NBA-ready guy is never bad. I think they're a couple years away. And you know what? Maybe it took a Jason Kidd, who's an NBA champ and a guy that even all the All-Stars loved playing with in the Olympics. Maybe he's the type of guy that you need to try and get a free agent to Milwaukee. So I think there's still a couple drafts and a couple free agents away from being any good, but maybe this is what you have to do. You know, it's hard as Larry Drew, the coach of the worst team in the league last year, to go attract free agents. But maybe the number two pick and Jason Kidd, maybe they're able in the next few years to attract, like you said, a free agent that can come over and help stabilize the roster.
Right. I think it's definitely a potential, and it's on the upswing. So I like where Milwaukee's headed, even the kid in the top of the second round, Damian Inglis. We'll see what happens with him. I think they're headed in a good direction. What I'm fascinated about, and I thought was interesting, the Brooklyn Nets and the Knicks going into the draft, and we'll talk about both of them, but focusing on the Nets, they, you know, old team, old roster, hopefully Lopez comes back healthy, you know, it's in their building, they didn't have anything, they basically, with money, buy some contracts, get some second-round picks, they get Markel Brown out of Oklahoma State, not bad, you're getting those two future second-round picks, and then towards the end, they make some trades to wind up getting Corey Jefferson from Arizona, from Baylor, which I like, you know, some development there, and Xavier Thames from San Diego State. So what do you think in terms of maybe three young players with such an old team? Not too bad for the Brooklyn Nets going into a draft where they had nothing.
Yeah, look, I think they made lemons out of lemonade, right? They had to do the best they could, given that they traded, what, three number ones to the Celtics to get the big two, to get Garnett and Paul Pierce. So this was the year that they traded. I guess next year, every other year, they'll have a number one pick. So they did about as well as they could. You know, for Nets fans, you just got to hope that health is on your side with not only Brook Lopez, but I think Darren Williams is walking around not healthy. So,
yeah.
So to me,
well, he's the key
Nets
to the season.
Really
he's the key.
Yeah, yeah. He needs to be a top 10 point guard. I mean, you and I talked about this off air. When he's not playing well like he did last year, he's not even a top 10 point guard. He's maybe 10 to 15 when he's not healthy and not playing well. Maybe he's 10, 11, 12 in that vicinity. And he's a max contract player. And he can't be the 12th best point guard in the league, especially if you want to do anything, especially at the end of Garnett and Pierce's career. Garnett's basically done. Pierce has got, you know, a little bit left in him.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree. And, you know, I think next year it's all or nothing for the Nets. So to get those three young players is good. But, you know, they're banking on Lopez and Williams being healthy with Garnett and Pierce still having a little something at least for the stretch run for the playoffs, and hoping that, you know, Karolanko and all these other guys can sort of fall into line to have sort of the perfect season with the Plumlee developing. It's going to be fascinating. But looking across, you know, at Madison Square Garden, I think all Knicks fans, including you and I, have got to be pretty impressed so far with the Phil Jackson era. I love getting Klee Anthony early, one of Ray's favorite guys, my guy, Sullivan County Community College, Wichita State, stand up. And then getting the Greek Freak's younger brother, Thanasis Akapukapakadaka, and so who was playing and getting 12 points and a couple of rebounds in the D League last year, Ray. Tell me, what'd you think between that D'Alembert trade, getting rid of Felton and Chandler? Today, are the Knicks in a better position to keep Melo and at the same time just, you know, do the triangle with Fisher and Phil?
I think the Knicks are in a better position than they were last week. They really haven't improved the roster in terms of championship-level pieces, but I think what they're showing is a willingness to make moves, the willingness to change, a willingness to wheel and deal, and shake it up. So getting rid of Chandler and Felton, not like Chandler, but I think last couple of years he hasn't lived up to his first couple of years in New York. So I like the fact that the Knicks are making change. So sometimes change for the sake of change is bad, but I think in this case change for the sake of change is good because you got a new regime in there. And I think that Fisher and Phil are pulling the trigger. And, I hope this kid Klee Anthony early gives the Knicks some, you know, athleticism, some inside-outside scoring, a little bit of rebounding in the front court. I love that. Let me ask you something, though. Tell me what – and now you're out there in Phoenix. Tell me what your Phoenix people are thinking about. Are they talking about your boy T.J. Warren out there? Because
well,
you know we like him.
Let me tell you this.
His last
okay.
game wasn't great. His last game in college wasn't great. It's a bunch of free
the
throws,
Suns,
and they lost that game. They should have won.
You're right.
But
he's
a player.
I'll tell you this. He's a offensive machine in ACC. They got him. They stole Tyler Ennis from the Raptors, who were dying to get him. They got drafted Tyler Ennis. Second round, Alec
so
Brown.
Why did they get? Yeah.
And then the kid that the Spurs wanted. Yeah, and then Bogdanović that the Spurs wanted, the 6'6", Serbia sort of slashing shooting guard, who's not too bad and probably is not a stash over, probably will come over next season. So they get four guys. I think what the Suns are doing is they're acquiring young talent to then have the assets to go ahead and do what they want to do. They are going to go hard, and this is the debate, right? This is an interesting question. They're going to go hard at LeBron and Melo. They've got a lot of cap space. They might let Eric Bledsoe go. You've got Goran Dragic and a bunch of young guys. Channing Frye is a free agent. They could possibly have enough to sign Melo and LeBron with Goran, who's making the most on his team at $7 million. And I think it would be fascinating. Here's the situation with Miami. They all opt out, right? But when they go back in and LeBron wants the max, Miami, because of Bosch and Wade and then Udonis and then basically having Cole and Napier – at six guys under contract, at the estimated contracts that they might get, you know, Bosch, 16, 17 million, Wade, 12, whatever, 13, they would only have the mid-level left with six guys on a roster and then anywhere from 2 to 4 million to sign other players and veterans. So that's not that much of an improved roster from last season. So does LeBron really want to stay in that situation is what I would ask you, where you could come to a Phoenix with Goran Dragic and play with Melo maybe and these young guys and
stop,
an exciting offense.
Stop.
Don't
selling
sleep.
The selling the dream. Wait, hold on. We got a caller. Maybe a caller's got an opinion on this. Let's get the caller in. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm a big Knicks fan, and I heard you guys talking about Melo and LeBron going to the Suns. But I, in my opinion, that even though they would play with those young guys, that is definitely not going to happen. They would not work together. Melo would just want to shoot the ball, and they got a lot of shooters on the team. They got a good team, but LeBron needs the ball too when he needs it.
All right, wait. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Tyler from New York.
Tyler, you said?
Yeah, from New York.
So,
yeah,
Tyler,
let me ask you this.
Where do you think – does Melo stay in New York, which I think is very feasible now with all the moves that Phil's making, and does LeBron just go back to the scenario I described for you in Miami with not that much of an improved roster? What do you think?
This is a tough – I believe that Melo will stay in New York. I believe that we have more things coming to New York. We have more trades. And then in 2015, we can sign good players, and we have a draft pick. I believe Melo will buy into that and sign with him. LeBron, I mean, it's just tough. Like, I really think he's going to sign back with Miami, because if he really doesn't, I don't know if that hurts his legacy or not.
Good point. But do you think I think LeBron's at the point now where his only care for legacy is to actually have the ring. I'm not saying he wants to be a ring chaser, but, it's sort of hard, right? Because if he stays in Miami, Wade, we saw the finals, even with rumors of him feeling healthy, he got old and slow real quick. And Bosch is not sort of dominant at the five, and maybe at the four if they get a center. Maybe you sign a Spencer Hawes or Byron Mullins, but I just don't think Napier and Cole is enough. Bringing back Udonis Haslem, who the coach didn't even play, if I'm LeBron, I can't be that excited. I think maybe they try to trade Bosch and get you Kevin Love or something. Now, that might be exciting. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point there. I never really thought about that. But if you can get Kevin Love for Bosch, you're going to have to give other pieces up too, because I don't think Kevin Love, I think, is way better than Bosch. But I believe that if that happens, then LeBron will definitely come back with Miami.
Yeah, look, I think that, first you'd have to sign Bosch. So you'd have to have this deal kind of tailor-made for Bosch, because Bosch, they all opted out. So Bosch would have to come back, get signed, and then get traded. But to me, LeBron's in a little bit of a dilemma because, first you have the fact that, yeah, Dwayne Wade is aging, and Chris Bosh is you know, not the dominant player that you know, that you would have hoped for. But the problem is, the grass is always greener, but where can he really go where he's got a tailor-made, you know, championship team? You know, we talked, the original suspects were the, you know, maybe the Lakers, but, you know, Kobe's making a ton of money. The Bulls, the Knicks are not championship ready. Cleveland's got
Rockets.
A bunch of young kids.
Maybe it's Houston. So
you talked about the Rockets is probably the best place to go, but I don't know that they can afford LeBron and Howard and Harden. And by the way, you have those two exploding contracts this year of Omer Asik and Jeremy Lin.
They already traded Asik, and they have a deal on the table for Lin.
Right, but you took the salary back though. Remember that they got. I don't know that they can. Bottom line is, I don't know that they can fit him in. Remember, they got the big three in Miami because they all decided before the season to take less money. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, but my question is, where does LeBron go that has a better chance than Miami? I don't really see it. I mean, Chicago to me is the only one.
Yeah, I could see it, but I
can. And I agree
Houston.
With Tyler. I don't think he could play with Carmelo. They play the same position.
Oh, you guys got to be kidding me! You saw them in the Olympics. LeBron can play a little bit of 2 and 4. Melo can play 3 and 4. You can't. Please, they can play together.
Yeah,
but we also saw,
and Tyler, you jump in on this too. But we also saw that when either of those guys, Carmelo or LeBron, plays the 4, they get beat down. They get physically worn out. So maybe you can play them for 5-10 minutes at the 4, but you can't play them consistently at 3 and 4 together.
Okay, well, but LeBron can guard too.
Melo.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. LeBron can guard twos, but I think that they'd be pretty – I mean, he's a quick guy, but they'd be pretty quick for him. But, I mean, I believe when the Knicks went to the second round and lost to the Pacers, I believe that when Melo was playing the 4, the Knicks actually played better basketball. So I believe that actually maybe could work, but I don't know.
It takes a lot out of him, though. You know, unless you have a really dominant center, you know, when he played the 4, he did play well. But remember, in the fourth quarter, he was exhausted. He was just physically beat up because he had to rebound, and he had to score. So maybe with LeBron, you take the scoring load off. He has to do less, but he still has to rebound. I mean, they both have to rebound. So I don't know. Look, LeBron can play with anybody because LeBron's got that kind of talent. And we did see good Carmelo in the Olympics when he was – you know, very, very team-oriented. So, look, I think they both at this point in their career want the same goals, and maybe Phil can work his magic. Phil and Derek Fisher can work their magic. But I think it's tough when two players are natural threes to put them on the same team.
Yeah. So, Tyler, great call. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be back next Monday and join us when we really jump in to some more free agency talk, all right?
All right.
Thanks so much, buddy.
All right, great call, Dallas.
Thank
Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So real quick, before we, you know, jump around, back to this draft, you know, we talked about how it would sort of play out. I want to ask you in terms of the winners. I mean, in terms of reviewing it, we all know, you know, Wiggins, Parker, Embiid, Gordon, Exum, Smart. Little surprise, and, you know, then you'd have Randall, but the surprise was maybe Stauskas going there ahead of Vonleh or McDermott. Vonleh goes, you know, 9. You got Payton in the trade, Elfrid Payton to Orlando. Let me ask you this, and it's a great draft, I think, when the Bulls can do what they did to get McDermott. Give me the 3 teams. I'll give you mine, but you give me yours first. The 3 teams, just an actual draft night of acquiring, you know, their picks. Who are the top 3 teams for you in the 2014 NBA draft?
That, assuming his foot is okay, I love the Lakers getting Julius Randle. I think he's a beast. I think he's a guy that's got a tenacity and athleticism that, frankly, you know, only Shaq has given them in the last 20 years. I'm not saying he's Shaq, but I'm saying that he plays hard, He's a beast. He's a rebounder. He's a scorer. And they got a top two, you know, talent-wise basketball player. As long as he can stay healthy, I love that pick for the Lakers.
Okay.
So that's one. I really love that pick. And you know what? I love the Sixers getting Embiid at number three. Again, you're taking a lot of risk, but why not? You're taking injury risk, but I love Embiid. The Peyton kid, I've seen some tape on. He looks like he can play. He's got some height. His jumper needs a little bit of work. I'm not sure how he plays with Michael Carter Williams.
No, Peyton went to Orlando.
Right. Oh, sorry. That's right.
Dario Saric, who they're going to store.
Right. Exactly.
2 years in Turkey.
Exactly. Sorry. That's right. So Saric is a big question mark, right? I mean, we've seen a little bit of him. You know, he's a kid from Croatia. He's got 3 years to stay. I think he's got 3 years, but he's got an opt-out potentially at the second year. So that's a big, you know, when you take a guy who's injured and you take a guy from overseas, that's a big gamble. But you know what? Why not? Why not? Because you could be terrible for the next 5 years. So why not shoot for the moon? If this guy, if these two, you know, Saric comes over and is your four, and if Joel Embiid is your five, you know, along with Michael Carter Williams, make a decision on Thaddeus Young. They might have a little squad in a few years. And the other pick that I like, you know, we talked a little bit about this before the draft. I think that Mitch McGarry might turn out to be a player. Now, if he can play in the front court, it's always hard in the 20s to get players, right? But luckily for Oklahoma City, he had the whole, you know, marijuana issue and suspension and this and that. And so he was kind of forced. Yeah, and he was kind of forced in. So, again, if he's healthy, I think that you put a versatile scorer in the front court to kind of take up some of those minutes that – you know, you're going to lose from Kendrick Perkins basically being done. And the fact that, you know, we would both like to see Percy Jones develop a little bit. But between him and Steven Adams, if they can get some help to their big three, that might just be something that puts Oklahoma City over the top. So
those are your three, Philly, LA, and Oklahoma City. Now, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pick those three. And so, that's good. So for me, I'm going to go a little bit different. Number one, I like the Utah Jazz. I like getting Dante Exum, who can be your point or two with Trey Burke. I think what I like about him is he has some size. Alec Burks and Trey Burke are both kind of small. Dante's got some size, and we'll see how he grows. And you can't tell me at 23 you don't get a steal with getting Rodney Hood, who's 6'8", you know, 208, I think can play a little 2 and 3. And if they lose Gordon Hayward, who teams like Phoenix or Milwaukee or whoever could go after him in free agency, you know, you have Rodney Hood to sort of help them out. I think Utah needs some size, but they're definitely banking on their youth with Favors and Cantor developing. But you add Exum and Hood, and I think the Utah Jazz – got some really good talent draft night. Number two, so I'm in the West like you. Number two, I got to go with two Eastern Conference teams, 2 and 3. I got to go with the Celtics. You know, as Bill Simmons said, I have to give him credit. You get Marcus Smart, you know, a great Boston name. Marcus Smart, I mean, can play with Rondo, or now you've got a chip to trade Rondo, maybe for a Kevin Love, maybe for another superstar. But Marcus Smart, at the end of the day, is like a bulldog, 6'3.5", 225, to play the point or the two. I think he'll be point in the NBA in the long run. So when the Celtics get a Marcus Smart, you know, you've got options now to move Rondo or to keep him, let them play together. And then later on, Ray, at 17, to get James Young, that's another steal with him and Rodney Hood both. He's 6'6", shooter, lefty. Ray loves the lefties from UConn. And, Ray, if you remember, we saw that not only was he just hitting the threes, but he can also – remember, the Harrison brothers, they, you know, struggled early in the year, but Young – he can drive and penetrate, and I think his game, he sacrificed the most in that star-studded Kentucky lineup. So Boston Celtics did a great job draft night. Danny Ainge, kudos to him. and their influx of talent, and let's see what they do on the trade front, free agency. And then number three, I mean, to me, it's the Michael Jordan. MJ has finally stepped up, Ray. I think they have a hot new court. We need Ray to rock the Bobcats. Maybe he just gets a Hornet jersey. But the Hornets / ex-Bobcats at number nine, Ray, getting Noah Vonleh with a 7'4 wingspan, shot 48% from the threes for Indiana. He's a 6'9 power forward, 247, stretch four. I like the kid. He's got a big upside to me. And, you know, for Charlotte, you know, right now you're getting some talent, but they are going to be, you know, guys that are in the free agency. They've got some cap room. So I think, you know, they'll be able to attack and maybe sign somebody. And then they make a little trade, you know, because the Heat want Napier and LeBron wants Napier. So they get P.J. Harrison, who from North Carolina, local kid, he's in the area, who got busy in the D League scoring 20, 40, a couple games. He's a professional scorer, jump shot, 6'5". He can dribble a little bit, 230. I think Charlotte Hornets definitely had a great draft. And I give kudos to Michael Jordan, man. You really got to give him some props. So, and you know what else, Ray, that you would love? You know which one you would love? And I know you got to tell the audience. I know you like what the Spurs did. To get Kyle Anderson at the last pick of the first round, he's just that perfect player to develop in the Spurs system and wind up being a stud from UCLA.
It's funny because, you know, maybe he could be Boris Diaw, I guess, but I don't like Kyle Anderson. I love him in college. I just don't love him in the pros. I just think he's just not athletic enough.
All right.
You know, they were trying to get your boy Bogdanovich that your Phoenix Suns got.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see. Look, San Antonio has been known to take kids that nobody wanted. You know, Patty Mills and Gerald Green and Danny Green and
they developed them. It's about talent development.
And they developed them.
Let me ask you this. Before we, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about free agency before we get to the World Cup. But real quick, did you like what Denver did getting Gary Harris in the trade? They got him, and then they got the other European a little bit later on with the Bulls trade. Did you like the Nuggets? Because I think that franchise is in a weird place. A bunch of talent. Do you think they're going to have to at some point package some of those guys and make a trade? But I do like Gary Harris at that pick.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I thought Gary Harris was perfect for the Bulls. And they ended up instead opting to go with Doug McDermott, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a bigger, a one-way, they're both sort of at this point kind of predominantly one-way players. But
Gary plays defense.
He plays a little, yeah, you know, he's all right. He's all right. I mean, Doug McDermott doesn't play much, but Gary does play some defense. So Gary Harris, to me, is actually one of those guys that we identified early in the year, even last year, as a legit NBA prospect. So I think he's nice, and I think he might be able to be somebody that the Denver Nuggets can bank on. Problem with Denver is they have the very good mentality. They're basically the poor man's Detroit Pistons in 2004-2005, right? That's the best they can be. The only team, we keep saying this, the only team since the, you know, in the modern era that's won without a Hall of Famer. So I think the model is you need one or two Hall of Famers if you really want to win and you really want to be dominant. So I agree with you 100%. They need to package two, three guys and go get themselves a draft pick, a star, a stud, somebody to build their team around. You know, when your best player is Ty Lawson, you're okay, but you're not winning championships. So
right,
to
and
me,
they reacquired Aaron Afalo too. You know, so that's sort of interesting situation. So okay, 12:01 tonight, free agency starts. They'll start negotiating on the 10th. You know, everything's official. Let me throw out a couple of names to you. Maybe thoughts on where they might go. We talked about LeBron and Melo already. There's some other guys out there. Paul Gasol, he's going to meet with the Thunder, the Bulls, you know, Warriors. Does he go back to L.A.? Does he go to New York? What happens with Gasol?
I think he might come to New York. Phil might get him to come to New York. Phil got the best out of him.
Yeah.
And he's a two-time champion under Phil and in Phil's system. And maybe at this point in his career, he won't get paid like a big man typically does. Phil might get him for cheap and say, look, I can get 3-4 more years out of you. So he might come to New York.
Okay, that should be interesting. Let me ask you, Greg Monroe, does he re-sign with the Pistons or does he go to like a L.A. or a Phoenix or, you know, what do you think Greg Monroe can do?
Phoenix is very interesting because they don't really have great big men. And Greg Monroe is so talented offensively. And he's such mm-hmm. a talented big man that he does a lot. He does a lot of things that big men typically don't do. And you know he's a lefty. So if you could have two lefties, Goran Dragic and Monroe together, now you know I'll become a Suns fan immediately.
All right. Now, another guy nobody's talking about, Luol Deng. Kind of interesting. He's off the radar because of the bigger names. But where does Deng play next season? He's not with Cleveland, not with Chicago. What do you think happens with Deng? Maybe he goes to Dallas?
I don't know. I like Luol Deng. I think if Dallas got him, he is that stabilizer that can play D, that can give you 15 to 17 a game. He can basically take over for a fading Vince Carter offensively, stabilize that team with Monte Ellis. I mean, I think that's a great pick. I didn't think about him going to Dallas, but to me, that's awesome. I mean, why not?
And
hold on,
then,
I think we have another caller.
Okay.
We have another caller. Let's see what you got.
Go.
Hello, caller. What? You're on the air with Ray and Tate.
Yeah, hi. I'm talking caller? About LeBron James here.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just saying that LeBron James is going to go to the Milwaukee Bucks, in my opinion.
Okay, why?
You want LeBron to go to Milwaukee? Okay, tell us why. Hello, caller?
Yeah, man, I think the Bucks got cap space, man, if they free up some people. And if he pairs up with Brandon Jennings, man, they'll make a good 1-2. And I don't know, man, I just see that happening. I see him winning at least 10 straight. Being NBA legends, man. That's what I see. And I see Kevin Bryant, you know, I see him coming there too. And I see him making.
All right, caller, you're being silly there. Thanks for calling. Thank you.
It takes a lot of winning to go get LeBron. I'm not sure that the Bucks have that for him. But you know what? If you're in Milwaukee.
Yeah. He, you know, funny guy. But listen, you know, obviously they don't have Brandon Jennings. It's Brandon Knight and Kyle Bryant. It's Kobe Bryant. But I just, you know, whatever, the Bucks. So real quick, obviously the Raptors, Ray, they made that trade and got rid of Sammons, acquired Bebe Nugaria and Lou Williams. So, you know, they're trying to make moves. I wonder what's going to happen with Kyle Lowry. Where do you think he's
going? You know what? He's a rising star that really could push a team over, you know, above and beyond. I would love to see him go to Houston, but I don't know if that can happen, again, salary-wise.
Yeah.
But
well, people want him. The Heat want him bad, but the problem is I don't think they can pay him. I think Kyle Lowry is going to get a big deal somewhere, and he deserves it. You know, I think he's at that point in his career where he's like, this is going to be my biggest contract, you know, and maybe it's re-signing, you know, with Toronto and they get to keep that young team together. You know, I don't know. Look, it all plays out. We'll be back on Monday to talk about it. I think right now, Ray and Tay, we've got to hit you with some flavor and let's come back and talk World Cup, the knockout round. Ray and Tay today. Talking sports with friends. Okay, Ray, you've been watching the World Cup.
Oh, we're back. By the way, am I fighting anybody recently?
Yo,
Uncle
listen.
Biting people.
That guy is done. But listen, breaking news with that. Our boy is available for America on Tuesday against Belgium. Josie Altidore will be playing. We don't know how many minutes, but he is healthy enough to play and available. The coach announced it. I'm excited about that. We'll talk about a prediction with that. Brazil wins. Colombia wins. They're going to play each other. Yeah, barely. You know, but that was big. And then today, Ray, France takes care of Nigeria. Nigeria showed themselves well, but France, you know, with the 2-0 win, gets that victory. On the other side, what did you think about, obviously, what went down yesterday in the games?
Ooh,
bless
geez.
You. With the Netherlands, the sort of the call
wow.
or the wrong call, the right call, Netherlands-Mexico. Great game. Mexico kind of took the pedal off in the second half, and it kind of burned them. So Netherlands advanced to play against Costa Rica, who had a big win over Greece.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Netherlands plays a style of soccer that you either love it or you hate it. And it turns out that their star was actually the best actor of the whole, you know, yeah. the whole night. So it's a little bit, I guess it happens in all sports, right? In all sports where you have a referee, you know, these things happen. People try to get an advantage, and he, you know, he basically admitted that he flopped. But
I
guess
bad
that's
for
happened.
Mexico, though. I felt bad for them.
Yeah.
They outplayed the Netherlands. They really did.
They really did, and it's funny because they were not, you know, they were not playing well. They had the CONCACAF, you know, matchups where they were supposed to be number one coming out of that bracket, and they didn't. So these guys in the Netherlands beat a team, you're right, that should have beat them. And then Costa Rica, you know, penalty kicks all over Greece, that was exciting. I tell you what, this Costa Rica team could beat the Netherlands. They're playing really well. Just as Brazil is not. I mean, you figure on their home, they're probably the biggest disappointment. They're not playing great soccer. But you know
well,
what?
Neymar is, though. Give Neymar credit. He's got a lot of goals. What, 4 or 5 goals? He's been playing great. And you're right. They better wake up, though, because Colombia can beat them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then, so yeah, they better watch out for that. And then on the bottom half of the bracket, like you said, France took care of business. Germany is tied up with Algeria. So Germany better wake up. So all of these favorites are playing some tough matches.
It's an exciting World Cup, and I'm, you know, learning more about the football and stuff like that. I love Brian Gumbel with Real Sports talking about all of the illegal gambling coming from China with football. And hopefully it's not affecting the World Cup, but gosh, football is so corrupt in the Italian leagues and all over. I mean, their players dropping every day with, you know, basically lawsuits and being fined. So hopefully they can clean up the sport, but it was kind of fascinating to watch that. I wanted to ask you, what do you think about Argentina-Switzerland? Because to be honest, the Swiss might be able to pull up an upset over Argentina, who Tay's got winning it all over Brazil. But what do you think about that matchup?
Well, I had Spain, so you know my prediction, my predictive abilities in this World Cup are not very good. But I think Argentina takes care of business. I think they probably win 2-1. I just think this is when the Argentines turn it on, and I could see them really rolling because think about it. If they win, their next matchup is the winner of Belgium and U.S. Belgium's been playing pretty well. U.S. is a surprise. Jurgen Klinsmann tells everybody, we can't win. We have no chance. And, you know, if they beat Belgium, they're basically playing.
He switched, though, Ray. Now he's telling the families to plan for their tickets to leave after the finals. So I like that. He's picking it up on them.
Is he going Zen Master?
Let's give him props. First of all, he knows the Belgian players, you know. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to go with the upset. I think USA winds up winning this game 1-0. You know, before they get the penalty kicks, maybe Clint Dempsey steps up again, maybe Jermaine Jones. But I think the USA is going to upset Belgium, and
okay.
I'm hyped up for America advancing to the World Cup.
I think Belgium takes it. Hold on, we got another caller. Let's see what the caller's got. Hello, caller, you're on the air with Rante.
Guys, Mike in Pittsburgh, how's it going?
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
What's going on?
Well, guys, I've got to come on here and beat my chest a little bit. I haven't talked to you in a while, but how about my 5-game prediction in the NBA Finals for the Spurs?
Yeah, Mike, listen, let me tell you something. They put a clinic on. They really put a clinic on. And so two things I got to ask you. When the Spurs win, repeat, are the big three of the Heat done? And how did you love your Boston Celtics with a great draft from Danny Ainge?
Well, first part of the question, I don't think the big three's done. Obviously, I think it's going to be the big four. With everyone opting out and restructuring their contracts, I really think they have a plan to add a fourth, whether that's someone like Kyle, you know, the guy from, Toronto.
Kyle Lowry,
yes. And then, obviously, I think they need a big man. But I think they do have a plan in place. The second part of your question, I don't agree with you. As a Celtics fan, I was highly disappointed the way the draft went down. About a day before the actual draft, there was a lot of rumors. Chad Ford, ESPN, had Embiid going to the Celtics at 6. I thought there was a chance Aaron Gordon would be there. I'm not high on Smart, guys. I think that Dante Exum, and I think I said this on your show before, not next year, because he's coming in and Marcus Smart has been in the NBA, you know, in college for 2 years. In 3 years, Marcus Smart isn't going to be half the player Exum is. And
well,
I get
they
all the...
Gone, Mike. They
hold
all
on, Mike.
Gone.
Mike,
all
wait, let me ask
mentioned.
You a question. Wait, but Mike, let me ask you a question. Dante Exum was gone, though. So if you're Danny Ainge at 6, who do you take? Because you had Marcus Smart, and then behind that was Randall, Stauskas, Vonleh, and then Payton. So who do you like out of those guys?
I mean, I would have took Randall. And my thoughts from what I hear is that they didn't because there's a log jam on the Celtics at the fourth spot with Sullinger, Olynyk, Bass, and all those guys. But it's not more of what they did. It's just my disappointment as a fan because I think those top five guys bring unique, special qualities. And while I think Marcus Smart is going to be a solid pro, I don't see him as a franchise game-changing player as in the top five, and I'm just so high on Exum, and you know, just losing that coin flip against Utah, I could see it playing out, and my nightmare came to fruition. As far as the 17th pick, guys, Young from Kentucky, I'm happy on it. I think when you get to that point in the draft, you know, it's a little gamble. I actually wanted Sark, the foreign player, you know, put him on ice for a couple years and then bring him in. So I give the draft a C, in my opinion, for the Celts.
So then you must like the Sixers draft then because to me.
Oh, my gosh.
They,
I love the Sixers.
They got a steal. You hold off Embiid and Sark, and just to feed the fans a little bit of talent, you know, you have the kid McCray from Tennessee, KJ McDaniels, and Jeremy Grant. But the Sixers, to me, with Noel and Saric and Bede and Michael Carter-Williams, in 2-3 years, the Sixers could be, you know, not okay. They could be playing for a chip. So I think the Sixers went the right way, and Bede's going to be a stud as long as he can get healthy. So let me ask you this. What about the Spurs? You went ahead and picked it. Can they repeat?
I believe, yes, they can. There's no team, you know, in the West that – you know, depending on now, you know, Carmelo Anthony, you know, if something major happens here in free agency. But I think, you know, they might have caught a second wind here. And, you know, obviously they got a good draft pick, you know, as low as they picked. I know Diaw is a free agent. He could be leaving. And I guess the guy they selected from UCLA is kind of a clone as a Diaw. You know, not really athletic, but can – you know, play the forward position and, you know, a great passer.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's interesting. He's a four that never really was that talented, but he's a point forward. He's like a Paul Pressey. You're old enough to remember with us the old days. Paul Pressey was really a three, but Kyle Anderson is like a point power forward. So it's very.
And you hope they can keep Patty Mills, but Patty Mills might be able to get a bigger payday out there, and maybe some more playing minutes. We'll see. Let me ask you this though, Mike. Too, what did you think about, or what do you think? I mean, you've been very big on our show talking about Melo. Phil Jackson has been able to get rid of the albatross of Felton, and I think Chandler was definitely on the downswing. You know, and I thought they'd be able to trade him, and they did. What do you like about what Phil's doing, and do you think now Melo will buy in and stay, and then next year they sign another stud? What do you think about that with the Knicks?
No, I think Melo's as good as gone. And you guys know me. Well, possibly Houston. You know, Vegas odds says Chicago's the favorite, but I think that the only advantage of having Melo there in New York is the lure of him drawing other superstars to New York. As far as just him being there, I think it's a good move to get rid of him. You know, Stottlemyre's contract's coming off the books. I think it's, you know, you're always going to get free agents to come to New York. Now you got Phil Jackson. You know, just break it down for this year. They might win 15. Hell, they might only win 10 games this coming year. But you got rid of Felton. You're getting rid of a lot of the baggage and just start from scratch. That's what I think they need. Finally, guys, my last point, I heard you talking a little bit about it, this USA soccer game tomorrow. I haven't been impressed with the United States, guys, to be quite honest with you. That first game against Ghana, they were dominated, and they won. The second game, they blew the game in the last, you know, 30 seconds. In that third game, it was 1-0, but Germany absolutely, this, you know, in my opinion, took it to them. In the United States,
getting a little lucky.
What's that?
You're getting a little lucky.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, in the United States, guys, we're not about quarterfinals, knockout round. We're about winners, you know, making a dramatic statement in the World Cup. If they come out and lose to Belgium, it's a disappointment to me, just like it was for Mexico. You know, they had a great, you know, group stage. They took the Dutch to the wire. But, you know, that's 6 years in a row that they're knocked out in the Sweet 16. So, you know, the World Cup comes every 4 years. So
right.
You can't, you know, say, yeah, we had a good, you know, World Cup because, you know, you got to make a dramatic statement. You got to beat Belgium and then come out and, you know, play Argentina tooth and nail, you know, to impress me, guys.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I think Belgium's playing real well, and Belgium's, I think, is going to win. But I just look at the USA's roster, and I don't put them in the same league as the teams that I think will make the Final Four. I mean, they're not in the same class as Germany and Argentina and Brazil. So I think actually
– and especially not with Josie not 100%.
Right.
And I saw a telling stat, guys. Out of the 32 teams that were in the World Cup, the United States were 31 in time of possession.
They
don't control the ball. Everything's like a counterattack and, you know, a lucky bounce.
But, Mike,
you know,
fair,
here or there.
That's also because they only had really Dempsey there as the one striker. They missed Altidore a lot. He's sort of, you know, he's really more aggressive. He keeps the ball with them. They need him. He's really their best player. So
you guys know the thing about soccer, though. It's like hockey. Sometimes you don't have to play the best to win a soccer game. You just need that lucky bounce, you know, a penalty in the box that, you know, could be a bad call by the ref.
Right.
Soccer is just a strange sport. You can dominate and still lose very easily.
Ask the Rangers in hockey.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Mike. Listen, Mike, great call. Don't be a stranger. We'll be back on Monday, man. Let's talk some more free agency.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right, Mike.
All right.
Take care,
Mike. Bye. Oh, man, Ray, I tell you, good to hear from Mike. And you know what? Mike called it. I'm surprised he doesn't like the Celtics moves, but I think he wanted better talent, and I think he'll be happy with what he got. I think Danny Ainge is doing the best that he can, and, you know, it sort of is what it is because if those guys aren't there, you can't take them, right? So you're on the record.
Like,
you got Belgium. I got USA. Before we wrap up, we got to talk a little bit of Wimbledon's. Of course, Serena's gone, Ray. But you want to tell us what's going on with Djokovic and who's advancing with the men and women, and who do you think is going to win this thing in Wimbledon?
you know, it's all about playing on the grass. It's all about who can do, you know, who can do big things on the grass. Now, you know, my man Pete Sampras was a Wimbledon master, and he loved playing on the grass, just like Rafael Nadal loved playing on his surface, you know. I like my man. I want to say Andy Murray can do it, but I can't. I got to go with
him. He won. Murray Djokovic won today.
No,
come
I
on,
know,
go.
I know, but I'm saying
go
win it all, I got to say Novak Djokovic. I just think he was on top of the world about 18 months ago, and he slipped a little bit, and Nadal's back. I still like Djokovic. I think he's the man. I think ultimately he's the guy to watch out for, you know, on the men's side. Now, on the
agree.
Women's side.
Yeah.
On the
I
women's
gotta go
side,
with
once,
go ahead with the women. Who
once
you think?
Serena goes down.
Then it's open.
I don't. It's wide open. You know, I don't know what are you thinking? I mean.
Well, look, I think there's a lot of women who are trying to, you know, they're starting to get some confidence, right? The question is, I guess it becomes matchups, you know? And you have, you know, Makarova, you know, she's got a shot. Is Nas still around?
You got
or
all
is Nas
these girls. You got Bouchard from I think she might be the highest ranked woman left because
left yeah
yeah she's ranked you know 13th and then you got Sabine Lisicki who's 19
and she got pushed 7-6, 7-5 she barely won
yeah and then you got Lucy Safarova who's 23rd so. You know, all of your favorites and all of the people that you thought were going to win, you know, this women's match is wide open. You're going to get, you know, and I would have said Caroline Wozniacki. But
the thing that she got shot, too. She, you know.
Yeah, she's the one that's got the most experience under her belt. So I got to go. If you ask me, I'd have to go with Lisicki. But the women's side is wide open.
Yeah, I feel bad, but I want to ask you this, right? Is Serena done for the year, or can she pull it together at the U.S. Open? You got to believe that she can at least get to the semifinals of one major this season. Goodness gracious, Serena.
She always bounces back from adversity. Now, eventually that'll end because, you know, she's way beyond her prime in terms of women when they peak. You know, women typically, women's tennis players anyway, I guess men's tennis players too, but typically peak in their, you know, mid-20s.
But it's just been her serve. She's beating herself. She's not taking chances, and she's having bad serves and serving, you know, conservatively in some aspects, Patrick McEnroe was saying. I don't know. I think if Serena wants to win the U.S. Open, then she can go ahead and do it. She's just got to sort of, you know, play Serena, you know, Serena tennis.
I think she'll get fired up again. It's in August. She's got, you know, by losing early, she's got an extra – week or 10 days of rest and also playing less tennis for her to come back and at least make the semis, if not the finals, and possibly even win it in Flushing Meadows. She'll be back. Don't worry. Serena's still got a little bit of juice left.
Yeah. Hey, a quick shout-out to a couple of guys with the NBA draft. Got a shout-out are the champions. Shabazz Napier and DeAndre Daniels got drafted, those Hungry Huskies. With the Heat, and then, you know, Daniels got picked up in the second round. Kind of happy for that kid. I wanted the Knicks to get him. You know, hopefully he plays well, you know, with Toronto. Big Dog the Third got drafted in Minnesota, him and Zach LaVine, so that should be kind of fun. But I was upset, Ray, and this is my pet peeve, and I want to know what you think about this. For all these European kids that are drafted, it's been like the last 10, 20 years, but recently – you know, last 10 years, they get drafted, but they don't ever come here. And then some of them come and they can't really play. And we see guys like, oh, thankfully, Lamar Patterson got drafted with the Hawks and Russ Smith gets picked up and goes to New Orleans. These guys that have played college basketball, we've seen them 2, 3, 4 years, did work. DeAndre Kane got hurt, Iowa State, didn't get drafted. He's going to play with the Lakers in Summer League. Melvin Edgem, a professional scorer. We talked about him on our show, Ray. You loved Edgem. He didn't get picked up. The Spurs signed him. And then last but not least, C.J. Fair from Syracuse gets picked up with the Dallas Mavericks in their summer league. And I just hope that these guys get a shot and get a contract. Ray, what do you think about some of these guys, their opportunities, and the fact that they don't get picked anymore? It kind of sucks for American college basketball players.
Well, look, I don't really care about, you know, I wouldn't say it sucks. What I would say is, look, you want to get the best talent out there, right? And if the best talent happens to be a European cat, then go ahead. The problem that I have is, and I think you hinted at this, is that people drafting on potential. It's like you see these guys at summer camp, and they have five good games, and you're thinking this guy is the bee's knees. And when a kid goes to college for 3 or 4 years, you scrutinize him, you look at his weaknesses, you look at it, things he needs to work on, and it's like, wait a minute, just because you haven't seen the 17, 18, 19-year-old kid but five times doesn't mean he doesn't have weaknesses. So it's
right.
almost like it's a disservice to these kids. I mean, what they're
yeah.
telling you is don't show
too
much of your
game. Or hit a big-time shot in a Big East tournament like C.J. Fair or, you know, I mean, clutch, you know, pressure moments. These kids are playing in college and making big-time baskets.
Yeah. I agree with you. But you know what? The problem is for every bust, then you have the San Antonio Spurs, you know, getting a Tony Parker, a Boris Diaw, a Thiago Splitter, a Manu Ginobili. Everybody wants them, one of those, you know, a Dirk Nowitzki, something like
that. I'm just happy the Orlando Magic took our boy Roy Devin Marble, baby. And, yo, I got to say a shout out to my boy, my Tar Heel, James Michael McAdoo. I hope you make the Pacers, you know, trying out with them or get on the bench in the NBA, you know. I don't know. Ray, good show. We'll be off for the July 4th weekend. We'll be back strong with our Urban Daily audience on the 7th on Monday, talking NBA free agency. The World Cup will wrap up. Wimbledon will probably be ending or over. So it's going to be a great sports week. Before we go, Lance will make you dance. We didn't mention him. Does Lance Stephenson re-sign with the Pacers or does he bounce?
I think he resigns with the Pacers. He might get a rude awakening that maybe only one or two GMs want to pay his price. So I think he does go back. I think Larry Bird likes him. I think in some ways he needs to stay with the Pacers to just finish what he started. You know, they're the team that kind of helped bring out the best in him. So I think he stays.
So then they probably won't keep Evan Turner. Can Evan Turner's talents work in Phil's system? Can the Knicks get Evan Turner and the Chiefs? Evan Turner comes to the Knicks?
Evan Turner actually plays well, I would think, with the Knicks. He's a slasher, athletic. He's not a pure scorer. When he was scoring 17, 18 a game, he was a volume scorer in Philly. You know, on bad teams, you take bad shots, you score a lot of points, you shoot a low percentage. So he could actually be, if we could get him on the cheap, I wouldn't mind Evan Turner. Remember, he played 1-2-3 in college. He played the point guard a little bit. So he's a versatile player. I don't think he's a star, but I think as a role player, he could be decent. Number 2 overall pick, but I don't think he's that kind of talent.
All right, Ray. Listen, great show. It's fun having you globetrotting. We'll look forward to you and your family coming back to the States, and we'll talk to everybody. Ray and Tay will return July 7th, 5 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back. Let's go, America.
Back.
Tay's going with the USA. He's going with Belgium, folks. Let's go, USA.
Belgium, baby. You got to call it like you see it.
All right. Peace.
We're out.